Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Live Up to Freedom Radio, hosted by Annie Cyrus.
Good afternoon and welcome to Live Up to Freedom Radio. I am your host, Annie Cyrus. Thank you so much for joining us today. Before we bring our very special guest on, I want to make sure that you are going to share this radio with everybody. I'm sure you are aware of the disaster we're facing today, and this is not just in the Middle East. We're going to discuss that today, so it's very important for everyone to hear and listen to this radio today. Go ahead and share it wherever you can. And also make sure to check out our website, liveuptofreedom.com, as I have posted a bunch, and I mean a bunch of new information regarding the situation in Afghanistan. With that being said, it is such an honor to have James Martyr with us today. He's a congressional candidate in Illinois. He was the 2016 Republican primary U.S. Senate candidate with over 380,000 votes. And he is also the former Kendall County Republican chairman. Hello, James.
Hello, Annie. It's great to be on your show, and it's such an honor for me to be on your show.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for taking the time. I know you are a very, very busy man trying to do what it takes to save our country. And before we get to the topic of today, would you please take a minute or two and tell my listeners about your campaign, the issues you're covering, and all that good stuff?
Yeah, so I'm at it again here. I started out this year, and Illinois is a very special place. We have the People's Republic of Illinois. We have Democrats controlling the legislator, the governor, and lots of other things. And so in this year's congressional race, we don't even know what our maps are going to be for the new election. Started out trying to oust Congressman Adam Kinzinger. We'll see if that still is the plan after the new maps are drawn. But one way or the other, I'm either going to go after Adam Kinzinger or one of the squad members known as to us as the fifth squad member, Lauren Underwood, who's one of Pelosi's puppets. America first, pro-life, pro-Second Amendment, pro-Constitution. I'm a Freedom Caucus candidate. And, you know, liberty, our security, and our economy are the things that we need to focus on in Washington, and we need someone who's actually going to do that when they get to Washington, D.C.
Absolutely. Agreed. And let me ask you this. I don't know if you know or not, but Illinois, Chicago is considered home to me. That is where I came to. Originally, when I arrived in America, all of my paperwork are issued from Chicago. And when I look back, James, I arrived on August 9th, 2002 in Chicago. And I was in Chicago until December 9, 2003. And then I moved out of there, not necessarily because it was a bad place. It was the weather, for sure. I could not handle the snow anymore. But also, there was a bigger Iranian community in Los Angeles where I could kind of find my feet better. But last time I came back to Chicago, which was 2 years ago or a year ago, 2 years ago, I couldn't even recognize it anymore. And this wasn't, you know, 40, 50, 60 years ago. This was a matter of 10, 12 years apart. And I couldn't even recognize the town anymore. Why is it that Illinois has been such a big target for Democrats to destroy?
Yeah, you know, it's crazy because they tell everyone that they're the party of the people when in reality they're not, because what they've done is they've created a anti-police state in Chicago. They let the criminals run free. They let the gangs run free. Violence is up by, you know, pretty much double digits in the Chicagoland area over probably the time you were there, maybe more than that, and there's nobody doing anything about it. I mean, the mayor doesn't seem to care about it. The governor certainly doesn't seem to care about it. It's really almost time to send in the National Guard into some of these locations in the city, and they won't do it. In addition to that, They've decided that they need to tear down historical statues and monuments in Chicago because I guess that's the thing to do if the local leftist groups want to destroy American history. So that's what they're up to.
It's just such a shame. Again, as I said, I have that little bit of attachment and bias toward especially Chicago or Illinois, but it just breaks my heart to know, again, when I moved out, even back then, the cost of living life in L.A. was a lot more than Chicago, but now when you look at it, it's pretty much the same. So I think if we do have, I'm sure we do have listeners from Illinois, and if one day soon they decide with the map. Okay, let me distract my own topic for a second. Why is it that they're doing this map thing? Every other week there are changes into it. As I've been following your page, so I read the information there, and you mentioned. What is that? What's the situation with that?
It's all tied to the U.S. Constitution, right? So every 10 years, the U.S. Constitution requires a census of the people, right? And so the maps are about the people. Well, the legislatures of the state, again, constitutional, are to apply the census data to draw the maps for, you know, state and local races and of course, every 10 years, the congressional races. So in the state of Illinois, the Democrats are in charge of that, and they don't like to invite the Republicans into the process. We're blocked, completely blocked out of it. And part of the problem actually goes to the Biden administration. They come in, they basically dismiss the work done by the Trump administration, have to redo it in their own way to make it better for them, and then, of course, they delay the release of the data that should have been here, you know, back in January, February. So it creates, for states that actually have to run elections in 2022, including Illinois, it created a nightmare. Especially in a state where we lost population, so we are losing a congressional district. We're going from 18. We had 18 electoral votes, and now we're down to 17. I guess that's a good thing for the nation because it'll be one less blue state electoral vote in the column for the president next cycle. But that being said, we do need congressional maps, and we need to be able to know where we can run. And so that's what we're really waiting for. The maps that I've been sharing out are not necessarily final maps. They're ones that were, let's say, leaked by the Democrat Party to the various media outlets, so we don't even know how close they're going to be to the final ones, but that's what we've been showing so far going on. So that's where we're at.
Wow, things Democrats would do to stay in control. That's just terrifying. Okay, let's head over to Afghanistan. Let me just start by, what are your thoughts and how do you feel as someone who's running for Congress and someone who's trying to make a difference for our country for better? What are your thoughts on how this whole thing went down in, what, literally 3 days?
Well, what a disaster. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It was an unmitigated disaster. It's all on the Biden administration. President Trump would not have executed such a horrible, come up with a horrible plan and then executed or just didn't even plan anything and just left like that. First of all, if you're going to exit a country where you've got people in there, the first thing you do is pull out the people, not the military and not the people who are protecting them. And you don't, for dang sure, you don't announce the details of that to the enemy, and you certainly don't give the enemy the list of the names of the people that you're trying to get out of the country, all things that the Biden administration has done. I mean, talk about a disaster. And then, of course, in addition to the people disaster, they've left behind billions of dollars worth of U.S. equipment. Over 75,000 vehicles, everything ranging from Ford pickup trucks and armored vehicles to all kinds of things. And you have over 200 aircraft, including 45 Black Hawk helicopters. And then you have over 600,000 small arms, grenade launchers, Gatling guns, and ammunition. I mean, it's incredible what they did, and then to top it off, 162,000 pieces of encrypted military communications gear. I mean, who in their right mind that's supposed to be our president would ever leave that much military equipment behind for terrorist organizations? Doesn't make any sense.
Well, personally, I think the only way someone in their right mind would do what Biden administration and Biden did is when they have made a deal with the devil. To be honest,
yeah,
I personally
exactly.
don't think this I don't think this was some sort of mistake from Biden, or it has anything to do with the fact that he can't even remember he's the president and not the senator anymore. I don't think it has anything to do with any of that. I think this was absolutely pre-planned. This was a deal made with the devil.
Yeah, it certainly appears so. I mean, who benefits from what happened here? Well, China benefits, and the Biden, as we know, Biden and his son and his family are in cahoots and have been in cahoots with the Chinese communists for decades. And this is another example of all the things that they do, that they're working with terrorist organizations and the Chinese communists, and they're working against America. I mean, this is why America First came about. This is what made Donald Trump president, and we need it back. We need it back in a hurry, because they're doing everything they can to destroy our security around the world, destroy our security here with opening the border wide opening. I mean, it's one disaster after another. I mean, we could talk for days on the disasters of this administration, and it's only 6 months in.
Exactly, and not only the security, I think a huge part of it, when President Trump was in office from day one until last day, every time he went behind a microphone, it was a serious stand. It was so credible that no one questioned him or his authority. But with everything for last 8 months or so has been a joke, but the last recent events with Afghanistan has took our credibility as a nation down to, I think at this point, people might take, I don't know, Cuba more serious than America.
Exactly. I mean, look, when we brought disarray to the country, whatever, there wasn't much array in the country in 2001, but when we brought down the military force of the world at that time, because remember, it was a global coalition, we were just leading it, we brought it down, they installed a government, not necessarily like that was the best thing to do, and then they didn't understand the people, the tribalism, and they didn't learn from anything that we had learned over the last, 20, 30 years, all the way going back to the fall of Afghanistan in the 70s, with a coup that ousted the monarchy in 73, the communist takeover in 78, the Soviet invasion, the CIA was in there for another decade, and all of these other things, the collapse of the Soviet with Union and the subsequent withdrawal, and then the rise of the Taliban. And we apparently learned nothing with all that. Why would the people of Afghanistan or any other country want to trust us, because they just see that, one administration comes, another one goes, and the American government in the end can't be trusted because we don't know what they're going to do 4 years from now after another election.
James, I just received breaking news. Pentagon announced that Afghanistan withdrawal is complete and America's longest war ends after 20 years. How? How can they say withdrawal is complete?
Wow. I mean, they're leaving Americans behind. We know there's Americans still there. We know there's allies America, people that were put in harm's way and risk by this, 20 years of occupation, right? And we know that these people are at risk of life and everything. They gave everything to be there with us and be on our side, and now that they've been all abandoned, and just especially the American citizens and people that were there doing the work that we asked them to do, and now they've been abandoned and left behind. I mean, this is just insane what they're doing.
I would agree with insane, and again, you definitely, between me and you know a lot more in law and constitution and regulations of our nation. How is this acceptable? How is this not a criminal act? Or is it, and nobody's going to do anything about it?
Well, I agree. I mean, I agree with you. There are plenty of good Congress persons out there calling this a criminal act, calling it treason. You know, I don't know no other way to describe it. I mean, really, literally leaving the enemy, all of that military equipment I just briefed on, which is, you know, not my list. I get these from people much smarter than me that are reporting it. But you know, it's incredible what we left behind, the people we left behind, the people we abandoned, and they're trying to claim victory out of this. And remember, when this was first announced, because there was a plan that President Trump and a timeline he had left in place, and Biden said, oh, no, we've got to move this up. Remember, political purposes. We have to move this up so that we can say we're out before 9/11, like that was some magical day to be out of there by, which makes no sense to force a timeline like that. But yet he had to do it. That's the Democrats' way of things, making it all political, right? And so now, magically, the day before the end of the month of August, you know, 11 days away from 9/11, all of a sudden we're declaring victory and saying it's out, even though everyone has seen this disaster unfold. We've seen at least 13 of our Marines and other military personnel who were killed in this terrorist attack. That's, again, the Biden administration is 100% responsible for this disaster. And here we go with them now declaring victory and that it's all over. Well, it's not over, and it's not going to be over for a long time. And it's definitely not over to the people that are left behind and really left for private enterprises. There are good private contractors out there. You know they're fighting for our people and their people, and they're trying to get them out. But they've been basically abandoned and left to do it on their own without the help of the U.S. government. I mean, that is criminal. That's treasonous. Everything you said is true about it. It's a crime, and it's treasonous that our so-called commander-in-chief is doing this, and he's definitely responsible for it.
That you mentioned something very interesting. Not only I see this comment or a statement from a lot of fellow Americans who are like, well, the Afghan men aren't fighting for themselves, why should we? And that's the thing. I think people need to realize, maybe, I don't necessarily think we did it, but okay, maybe we trained them for 20 years. But the point is, we left them in complete chaos. We handed over advanced weaponry to the enemy, and then we just walked away.
Yeah.
Afghan
yeah.
men or Iranian men or Mexican men or American men, doesn't matter. There is no fight left for them to do because we have literally empowered the enemy and then dust up the town and left. What fight is left for them to do?
Right. Well, we've left them to people who believe in killing, and they don't value human life. They believe in killing, and they believe in revenge, and that's what they're going to extract. I mean, I don't know the reports because we're not getting, you know, true reports out of the media anymore. But I've heard reports from other sources that are making claims that thousands of people have already been executed in this debacle, and there's more to come, and it'll probably be tens of thousands. I mean, it's literally genocide in process by these terrorist groups that are now in control of the government with, you know, billions of dollars of American military equipment. and which, by the way, some of which will get sold to China and Russians and whoever else is interested in the market to buying it. So they just created the biggest arms dealer is now the Taliban in Afghanistan, and they were given all of the things they needed to become an arms dealer by Joe Biden and his administration. I mean, it's just, you can't make this stuff.
And I can confirm from someone who reads, writes, and speaks three languages that are involved with this disaster right now, being Farsi, Urdu, and English. I have read, I have heard, I don't even watch the American news. I watch the Afghan International and Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting, and I can confirm some of these weapons have been given to Islamic Republic of Iran's regime, being IRGC and Hezbollah, and from there, they are being transferred to Palestinians to go and kill Jews. This isn't just about one Taliban. This is a huge link to another terrorist group, This, again, when people say, oh, this is Afghanistan's issue or this is Afghan's issue, no, it isn't. This is an international issue that Biden has created by handing over, again, as you said, as you emphasized and I emphasized, this isn't a joke. Billions of dollars of weaponry is a lot of weapons. And the technology, one thing, a journalist, an Iranian journalist who's outside of Iran, he's against the regime, he mentioned, which was a great point, was, have you thought about it? When these weapons land in hands of Hezbollah and IRGC, the Iranians have access to some of the most brilliant minds. They will dissect the technology and duplicate it.
Exactly. I mean, so the Iranians, the Chinese, there's the Russians, there's plenty of sophisticated buyers out there, which is certainly not the Taliban, but that's why they're going to be selling it, because they can't do this stuff. But they'll be selling to those three and probably a few more rogue nations in the world that want that same equipment. They want that information. I mean, it's going to set back our intelligence and our capabilities by decades, because it takes decades to get that far ahead of other countries in the world, and now they just basically gave it away to everybody. I mean, the insanity of what they did is you just can't be measured how bad this is. Look, and you pointed out, our allies and friends in Israel are now at huge risk, and any other allies in the region around in the Middle East or in North Africa or anywhere. In fact, some of that will likely make it through the American border with Mexico, because look, it's wide open. You've got Biden opening up the border down there, and what's to not stop some of these grenade launchers, et cetera, from coming through that border and being used here. There's no end to what these people will do, and they will do anything they can get away with. And this is really the point. And, we cannot, I mean, it's just, you can't imagine this happening. I mean, honestly, who would have even thought before it happened that even the Biden administration would be this incompetent and this against America to allow this to even happen? It just doesn't make any sense. And to the degree that his advisors in the military did this, they're all responsible for this. So it goes, where does the buck stop? Well, it does stop with the commander, but it also goes to his advisors, whoever who participated in this charade and didn't stop it. So
that's very true. And on that note, we actually have a question from one of our listeners. He's asking, why are no generals resigning? And is there anybody in military leadership who actually is worth keeping there?
Yeah, look, I mean, I don't really know that much about our current leaders in the military, but But we know that politics is at play. You see it all the time. Administrations come in and they get rid of the previous administration's advisors and plant new folks. But you know, we always hope that our military is a first, you know, there to defend and protect the American Constitution and the American people and the American Republic. And we hope they're above that. But there's clearly some responsibility here. I mean, you know, the part of executing a plan, which is such as evolved into such a disaster as this, is on the people who are the leaders of that. So somebody needs to be held accountable in addition to just the Biden administration itself. But yeah, big problem. I mean, you know, the problems here are of monumental proportions, right? And you said it, it's going to affect countries all around the world. You know, we to a degree, I will never say we always have terrorism in check, but this basically just gave the terrorist a boost of monumental proportions, billions of dollars of equipment, and also just the whole part where people won't trust the United States anymore in any matter in these international affairs, because if you're going to walk out and leave it in such a mess, who's there to trust on that?
Exactly, and again, it comes back to I'm going to, since we're halfway through the program, I'm going to use this to ask everyone to understand the importance of electing the right people. One of the reasons, and I understand we all agree that the election was stolen, yes, but if those who certified the stolen election were the right people, they wouldn't certify it. So no matter how you look at the disaster we're in right now, it comes back to where we need to do our part as American citizens. We need to vote for the right person. And I will personally say, as I have before, endorse James. I will say it on air right now. He is one of the right people. He is not looking for power. He's not looking for fame. He's not looking to become a millionaire like Democrats. He is trying to save our freedom. He's trying to protect our Constitution. He's trying to put us first to where we don't have to do programmings explaining of thousands of Americans' lives jeopardized, credibility of our nation gone, and we don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow that's going to be worse or better than today. On that note, James, please tell my audience your website, where they can go to get behind you, make donations to support you financially, and how we can all help you.
Yeah, thank you for that, Annie. It's so much appreciated. Yes, James Martyr, my last name is spelled M-A-R-T-E-R. Our website is my last name, Martyr for Congress, and that's the number 4, and it's .us as in the United States. Martyr for Congress .us is our website. We're on Facebook as Martyr for Congress, also on Twitter as well, and we're expanding a few other platforms. So you can reach out, find our contribution donation page on there, and everything matters in these races, every little bit amounts. We have some of my most valued donors are ones that can only give, you know, $5 or $10 or $20 because I know they're given, you know, more than they can afford in many cases. So, and it does take numbers, and it does take dollars to win these congressional seats. It's there are a lot of folks that end up hopping into races. There's a lot of what I would call establishment candidates out there, and they seem to only have at interest the status quo, and you know, We have folks that don't seem to care about our country and our Constitution. Adam Kinzinger is one of those. He calls us kooks because we want election integrity and because we believe that our election process is sacred and it should be robust and it should be auditable and it should be accountable, none of which it was this last cycle and many cycles before that. So, we need to get back to America first, to our constitutional republic, and less government in Washington, The big spenders are out there. They're driving inflation and, you know, all kinds of fronts. I mean, we go from the disaster of what we've seen in national security here and in the departure from Afghanistan to massive inflation that they're fueling in America based on just outrageous spending that is really stealing from our children's future and that sort of thing. So in order to get folks to Congress like myself, I will be a House Freedom Caucus member. My goal is to restore this republic and restore liberty and give the folks in Congress that are there doing that today, like the Freedom Caucus members and like President Trump when he was there, and we got to get him back in there. You know, that's what matters is people that are here to serve America and put America first and save America from this disaster that we have going on in Washington.
Absolutely correct. And here's the thing, guys. I hate the feeling I have, but our tax money ended up turning into weapons for one of the most ruthless terrorist groups that exist. Either you like it or not, that is what happened. Those weapons, they didn't just come out of the blue. A lot of it was generated by our tax money. So even though we didn't choose to do that, but we have a choice today. We can choose to spare $5 or $10, have one less cup of coffee, or eat at home and not go out this weekend, and donate that to campaigns such as James' campaign, knowing he is pro-Second Amendment, he is pro-life, he is pro-Constitution, and he is the true American. We need to be our voice in Congress. So situations like today and last week and last month and last 7 months could somehow be under control, or even if it wasn't under control, we had a representative like James who would stand up and start voicing our concern for us. So we can all do our part, as James said, $5, $10, when you go to church this Sunday, ask everybody in your church to put whatever they can and then send it to James' website. Again, it's Martyr, M-A-R-T-E-R, number 4, congressfor.us. Or actually, he does have a way for you to use your cell phone and make a donation. Text his last name, M-A-R-T-E-R, send it to 800-500-5858. Seriously, guys, it's time for us to put our money where our mouth is, because if we don't, Democrats are going to burn our beautiful country down and build their completely diluted utopia on the ashes left behind. So please do your part. Okay, James, I'm going to go ahead and do, I think most people hate it when I ask this question, but I have to ask this question. If you were, this very moment, if you were a representative, congressman, martyr, what would be the action you would take regarding what Biden administration has done?
So this is certain, I mean, in a House where there's minority, you know, unfortunately, many of our people who are there right now are trying to do things for us on the good ones, the Freedom Caucus, American First candidates, and they're doing everything they can, which mostly is just speaking up because they're in the minority. If we were in the majority, obviously you have options. If we have a majority Congress, I hear calls for impeachment, et cetera, et cetera. The challenge, I think the challenge is it's such a disaster. What, you know, how does Congress override the president? And part of it comes with, you know, removal of the president if the president is a traitor to the country. That's a clear constitutional obligation. It's been misused and abused, obviously, in the last 4 years, two times. It's really never been properly used in many occasions, perhaps in the past where it should have been. But it is about making sure that we have the right things going on in Congress and we have the right bills to do the right things for the people. And part of it comes with, you know, not spending our money and putting us into oblivion here. And part of it is exercising congressional authority and control over misuse and abuse of power. So that goes to the investigations that need to go on to stop what's going on in the military here, as well as to the impeachment process for a president who's out of control. But again, as you know, and as probably most of your listeners know, is when you have a majority in Congress, the majority in this case, Pelosi, is not going to let any of that go through. So I believe that's the big challenge for this today. But
hello.
Yes. So at any rate, I think that's our challenge today is what do you do without having the right people there? And the challenge is to get the right people to Congress.
Exactly. And that's why, again, sometimes people make the comment of, oh, it's too late. There's nothing we can do. And I keep repeating, no, there is. There's a lot we can do. And the very first step is to put pressure on those who are, quote unquote, representing us today, and then make sure to get behind those who are trying to do the right thing. But as you said, establishment is trying to stop you and those who are. And here's the funny thing. I normally look for, if the establishment is behind a candidate, automatically I start having my doubts. If establishment is trying to push a candidate out of the race, then I get very curious about that candidate, because for sure they stand by American values, because that's why the establishment don't like them. They can't control them. They can't buy them. They're, you know, it's the same thing with President Trump. One of the reasons I personally love him still and voted for him both time was I could see how he just stands up and say no. He does the right thing regardless of what the establishment would say about him or how much he would be banned on social media.
Exactly. I mean, he was a true leader. Hey, he kept his promises. You know, there was lots when he first got into the race back in, 2017, I think it was, or no, not 2015, before the 2016 elections. And, you know, there were a lot of, who became the Never Trumpers, a lot of those who were all coming out and say, oh, he's just saying that, he's not going to do that. And as his campaign went on and once he was elected president, you could clearly find that what he said he was going to do, he did. He kept his word. Everything from moving the embassy in Israel to Jerusalem, which every president going all the way back to Ronald Reagan had promised to do, and none of them did it, right? And here's a man who promised to do that. He was the first president, he said he stood with the pro-life movement, first president ever to go to the pro-life march in Washington, D.C., which is right in their backyard, by the way. It would have been easy for any president to do that claimed to be pro-life. None of them did it, and it took President Trump to be out there. President Trump kept his word on building a wall, even though Congress, when we had a Republican Congress in its first 2 years, the Republican Congress wouldn't give him a bill to build the wall. The president figured out a way through executive authority, which he did have, and some other means to actually get that wall built without the help of Congress. So he had as you called them, the establishment fighting him from the day he got into office, and they've been fighting him the whole way. And at least on our side, the establishment GOP is responsible for this mess we have, because they abandoned our president while he was president. They abandoned him during the election, and they abandoned him in the impeachment process, and that includes people like Congressman Adam Kinzinger, and it concludes people like Liz Cheney and the Bushes and everybody else, the Romneys and all of these people who abandoned our president. Even Mitch McConnell effectively abandoned our president with his words about the January 6th and blamed the president, where in fact maybe he should have been looking a little closer in the House to the leader Pelosi and the lack of planning and and plotting, maybe lack of planning and some plotting they did around not having the right security in place for that day. So, and then you've got another sham, you know, investigation going on in Washington. Again, that they're not following the rules and following the process. The Republicans can't participate. Oh, except for the sellout rhino Republicans like Kinzinger and Cheney, then they get to participate, but not the ones that the leadership picked. So this is what we've got going on in Washington. You know, we really need to make sure that we elect the right people in these races. And, you know, the fight is, and like you said, it gets back to elections. Every election is a battle. Every election is a fight. And it's also our opportunity not to give up, because if we give up, we're giving up, you know, the American Republic, we're giving up our freedom, and there are so many fronts we have to fight them on, and we have to be out there in the battle each and every election cycle, and that's what we're doing here.
Absolutely. We do have a caller who's been patiently waiting on hold, so let's just take this one call. Hello, caller. What's your name, and where are you calling from?
Yeah, my name's Hunter, and I'm calling from Portland, Oregon. And one question I have about Afghanistan is something that always bugged me about Trump was he didn't pull out during his term, and I thought he would. And that was the reason I voted for him, and I was disappointed that he didn't. And I was wondering if you could maybe shed some light on where I'm going wrong.
Sure
well,
thing. Thanks for calling in, Hunter. I'll put
you... Yep, very, very, very good question. He definitely did make plans, did downsize the troops, and did start the direction and put the plans in place. I think part of it was simply because he was always on the attack and not getting cooperation from folks in Washington and the media, by the way. And I think a lot of that, you know, held up the, you know, let's say he was treated like President Obama was by the media and others around during his 4 years, I think he probably would have had a lot more things done. Would this have been one of them? I don't know. But I think you're right about that. I think if he would look back and say, wow, I don't think myself as a Trump supporter and many other folks, I don't think we thought what happened in November with let's just say a lot of questions about fraud and election integrity was going to happen. And certainly we didn't know that we would have what some of us would describe as a plandemic that was definitely used, you know, like Rahm Emanuel, former Clinton administration and mayor of Chicago would say, never let a crisis go to the waste. The Democrats use that crisis to change an election outcome. But I think those things all factored into some of the things that President Trump couldn't get done, you know. And Afghanistan was certainly one of those things. With the holdup there, I think it was going to be difficult no matter what. I did hear President Trump talk about this in the last few weeks, and basically, you know, his comment was, look, you don't leave the military equipment behind, so we're not going to do that. They would not have done it that way. And the way the plan is executed makes all the difference in the world, and the timeline of the plan. So all those things were changed by the Biden administration. But I think I definitely agree with you that there were a lot of things I know President Trump wanted to get done. We were all hopeful that he would be in here in a second term and doing those things, and he didn't have the opportunity to finish some of them that we were all hoping would have been done sooner. And I think it's the reality of any presidency. So not disagreeing with you, caller. I think you're right that there were it was an opportunity missed for sure to get that done earlier, because he was definitely been moving it in the right direction during his term, but it was at a fairly slow pace. So I would agree there.
And I would agree with everything you said and everything Hunter said, but I would also want to add, I think the entire quote-unquote pandemic and COVID situation and lockdown definitely added to the delay. The America First again. the situation in America got to where he had to concentrate on Americans in America, and the situation here that withdrawing from Afghanistan went from top priority to probably the secondary list of priorities.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I think that's part of the answer in that question was that my recollection isn't 100% on anything these days, but I do believe that there was a kind of a plan timeline to have it done in his first term in the 4 years, and I think you're absolutely right that when you get to end of 2019, beginning of 2020, that things changed drastically, and that probably had something to do with that. I wouldn't say that was an absolute fact, but it certainly seems like it had a lot to do with it, because there was definitely a push and a plan to do that, and it really got put on the back burner because of that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Sometimes, again, I'm not a Trumpster, but I understood a lot of what President Trump did or didn't do, and I also paid a lot of attention to how much he was alone, how much his own administration cooperated with Democrats. As you said, they abandoned him many times, and I considered President Trump as a one-man president and not an administration with cooperation of everyone, like how Biden has it right now. You know, he says, let's do this, and everybody's game. For one person, he really did a wonderful job. He did a lot for us. And I agree with you. I wish somehow we could just get him back to finish what he started, which was making America great again.
Yeah. So look, I mean, he did so many things that most people never gave him credit for, especially not the media. But everything from taking one of the campaign promises, which was to reduce the bureaucracy and the red tape in Washington. And it's, you know, he had originally said, we're going to get rid of, you know, two regulations for every one that that is added. And during his administration, I don't remember what the final numbers ended, but there were several times during that where they were reporting on that it was literally, you know, there were like 20 for everyone that they added. So getting rid of all that red tape and doing those good things that and people don't get credit for, coming up with a mechanism, a plan within the laws that were in force, to build the wall when Congress was uncooperative, right? I mean, and that's a national security thing. It's not it's not just about the southern border in one country, our neighbors and friends in Mexico. It's about all the other people that are coming in through that border from all over the world, and it's about the cartels and all that others and the drug trafficking, the sex and slave trafficking. Of women and children and probably young men these days that these cartels are doing. I mean, it's a national disaster, national security disaster, what Biden's done on all kinds of fronts, and everything is tied together. The disaster in Afghanistan is also now tied to the safety and security of our own southern border. And we need serious help, and we need to get our president back into the White House, whether it's 2024 or some other timeline. But we definitely need it, and we need to send him a Congress that will work with him, which he did not have during his 4 years in office. Even when he had the Republican-led Congress, it was not a Congress that was working with him. There were traitors in that Congress to the president and our party that were not helping him at any stretch of the imagination.
That is absolutely correct. And here's another question. I'm an immigrant myself. I came to this country through proper channels. I didn't jump over any border. I didn't break any law. I waited my terms because I have, first of all, I wanted to be accepted in this country, so I wasn't about to disrespect it right off the bat. Also, I have so much respect that, you know, it's the way I did it. However, I have recently been accused of anti-immigrant myself, being a hypocrite apparently, because I complained and I said it is a dangerous move to load planes and just bring people over in name of rescuing Afghans when, first of all, we don't even know if there are funds or not, because I have personally seen pictures of these planes where there are Palestinian couple in the front of the plane. They're not even Afghan. We don't know who they are. We have no confirmation. We're just bringing them in. I'm not saying let's not rescue Afghans, especially those who have helped us, especially women and children. I'm just saying the way we did it, or we didn't do it, the way Democrats are doing it, it's very dangerous on top of what we're already facing with illegal aliens in our country. So what's your take on that, James?
You're exactly right. I mean, look, whoever we rescued from there should have been flown to another military base, maybe in the region or maybe in Europe, and they should go through a vetting process, right? I mean, look, we saw this with the Obama administration bringing in, I can't even remember all the different countries that they brought in refugees, but we know some of them ended up in Minneapolis, and one of them ended up in Congress, right? So, and some of those go back to the Clinton era, but, and even some in the Bush era, right? Where we put up these numbers of folks that we brought over without proper vetting. So I definitely agree with you there.
Again, because I'm very, very paranoid, let's call it, and I want to make this clear for anyone who might be new to this program and not know me exactly. My paranoia is very reasonable. I come from a motherland where it was known as Mini America. Literally, it was known as Mini America. It had everything America had, including the same Constitution, minus the Second Amendment. Key part there, minus the Second Amendment. And very quickly, it went from Mini America into what you know as Islamic Republic of Iran today. The same promises, the same things that I hear from Democrats all day long, free education, free housing, free gas, free this, free that, all of those promises. And I was born after the revolution, and I ended up facing so much inhuman in my life that when I look at what's happening today with Taliban, with Afghanistan, with Biden administration involvement of China and Iran with our government, yeah, I might sound extremely paranoid, but I've seen this happen. It's so clear. I don't know, James, do you see it as clear as I see that Democrats are definitely determined to take us down? They hate our Constitution so much that they're willing to make up all sort of deals and stories, like, as you said, Ilhan Omar wanting blasphemy laws and stop all Islamophobia in our country.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you see it with what they're doing both to our Constitution, what they're promoting in our school systems, promoting, all around this country in their propaganda, really. And it's gotten to a point where, you know, people, I see it now. I see it in my own county. I see it in my own state. I see people starting to wake up. But, you know, now is pretty much the last time to wake up, because if we don't stop it now, it'll be exactly like you said. And I heard reports, again, don't know if they're true, that in Afghanistan, one of the first things the Taliban are doing is taking away they're confiscating guns and banning guns from anyone who's not part of them, right? So that's the first thing they do when they complete a certain phase of their takeover. It was the same thing that happened everywhere in the world, including Germany in the early 1930s. Same thing happened, right? First thing you do is you take away that Second Amendment, and the rest of them, they're only there on paper. There's nothing there to back it up.
I can actually confirm that report. A tweet went out on Zabihullah Mujahid, who's the spokesperson for Taliban, and this was exactly 5 days ago. On the tweet, he says, the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan government, a.k.a. Taliban, is announcing that if anyone has weapons of any sort, bring them to us. If we catch you with it, you will face Islamic punishment. That could be anything from lashing, present time, or execution. So I can confirm that for you. Yes, those reports are correct. They are asking everyone to bring their weapons, any kind, not just guns, even a knife. They need to bring them over, or if they're caught with it, they will face punishment.
Hey, Annie, I'm going to apologize to you in case my phone dies. I just got a beep on my phone saying my battery's about to go. But so if we do get cut off before then, I know we're getting close, but if we do get cut off, that's the reason why.
Well, here's the thing. Just make sure we don't lose you before we get the information to my audience one more time. Please give us your social media, your website, and Burr, everybody should go to make a donation to you.
Last name, Martyr for Congress, M-A-R-T-E-R. The website, Martyr, number 4, Congress.us, martyrforcongress.us, and there's a donation link on there. Email, phone number, be glad to anyone out there that wants to further discuss things with me. We're always available by those methods, and would love to hear from you.
Fantastic. And we are at the end of our program, so before you go or your phone battery goes, what would you like us to leave with today? What is your final message for us?
Look, we got to get back on America first, the Constitution, limited government, stop the insane spending in Washington, stop the insanity of supporting terrorist organizations around the world, just like the Biden administration's done, and getting back to life, liberty, and our constitutional republic here in America. And, one other plug, faith, family, and freedom. So God first, America, and individual rights. That's where we should be.
Amen to every single word. And, James, I cannot tell you how grateful I am that you took the time to come on my program. I hope we get to get you back soon. And hopefully every American who cares for this country will get behind you. And as I said, financial support is very crucial. And I cannot wait to celebrate your victory comes 2022 when you will be elected. And we can all take a deep breath that a very good man, a man of God, a patriot is going to represent us in the Congress.
All right. Well, thank you. It's an honor to be on your show today. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Appreciate it. And to my lovely audience, as always, thank you for staying with us. Make sure to share this episode. Make sure to go to James Martyr's website, M-A-R-T-E-R, number 4, congress.us. Make a donation, share his website, tell everybody about him. And as I said, it doesn't matter where you are. He may not be in your district, but you are allowed to donate. So reach really, really deep in your pockets. Make donations because it is going to a good cause. Also share my latest on liveuptofreedom.com. I am covering the situation in Afghanistan to the best of my ability because everybody needs to know what we are facing. On that note, I want you to please stay safe and stay vigilant. And I will talk to you all next Monday, same channel, same time. Goodbye.
All right, goodbye.